Greetings again, dear ones. For the last few channels, we have been talking to you about something that is consciousness but physics, and it has to do with the multidimensionality of you, your cellular structure, your consciousness, and how you're moving paradigms from one reality to another. And so we want to enhance that yet today. Again, the channel is not about physics. It's about consciousness. It's about you. It's about what's coming. Now, yet again, I want to ask you to readjust your reality in the room. This is a message from Spirit. It's a benevolent message, a beautiful one, to the creative source that loves you. The creative source has a higher consciousness, you might say, than anything that you can even fathom. There is no room for darkness. Love is the king of emotions for you. It is also the benevolence of God. There is no other energy that surpasses it. It is prevalent throughout physics, throughout the universe. There'll come a day when science will expect benevolent return from experiments, that intuition will show them something to do, and there'll be no question of what the experiment's results will be. They'll feel the benevolence before they even experiment. That the scientific method will be something that qualifies something that they already know, not that they suspect. It's all part of what's coming. We gave you channels in the past, especially the last three, that were interrupted by a translator. And so we wish to repeat some of it so that there is no interruption and in a language and word frame that is more consistent without translation. I want to talk about one of your famous scientists. Once again, it's Einstein. Einstein actually quarreled with quantum physicists in later years. Einstein did not believe in potentials. Einstein was more empirical. And yet, I am telling you that this man was the first quantum physicist. And we do this by saying what he did was to show you that something you thought was absolutely steady and empirical and would not be changeable was changeable. So in physics, especially that which you walk around in and call reality, there are certain things that behave certain ways, and they're not changeable. They can't be. It wouldn't be your reality if they changed. And Einstein came along and showed you one of the most stable things that you believe planetarily was changeable. When Einstein showed his theory of relativity, it was about time. It was about something so empirical, so steady for you, that you can measure time by the nanosecond. You've worked out ways of cutting time so that it is so precise, you know, by the absolute piece of it, what time it is. Because it never changes. But it did. Einstein presented something that I'm going to turn right around and show you is yours. He postulated that if a man got in a spaceship and went the speed of light, and he stayed out for perhaps a year going the speed of light and returned to the planet, He would be a year older, and the planet would have aged more than he did. So by going very fast, he slowed down his time relative to where he came from. Now, he didn't know that, and neither did Earth, until they met together, and then it was obvious. This rewrote the whole idea that something you thought was never going to change was variable. Now, I want you to just stop right there. That's quantum physics. Because it's going to rewrite what you think cannot be changed. Let's get back to the speed relationship to time. In three dimensions, in the thinking process that you have, even in four dimensions, you linearize everything. It has to be that way for you. It has to make sense for a human being. So speed to you is defined as the amount of duration between points. If you're driving a fast car, the duration will be shorter from A to B. An airplane, shorter from A to B. You go faster, the duration is shorter. And every time you mention speed, it's in a straight line. Now, let me give you some what I call sideways logic. Could you go as fast in a circle? The answer is yes. Ignore that which you think is centrifugal force, which is not defined right. If you were to go in a circle instead of a straight line, could you still go fast? Of course. So now let's go very fast in a circle instead of a straight line. You have that picture in your mind. Now let's start to reduce the circle. And reduce and reduce and reduce and reduce and reduce until the circle is your cellular structure. You've heard the term vibrating at a higher level. A vibration to you is an oscillation, a back and forth motion. It's not, it's a circle. You are vibrating in a circle, and in this energy becoming multidimensional, your cellular structure is speeding up. Are you starting to get a picture? What would happen if your cellular structure started to speed up a lot more than someone else's? Using the theory of relativity in its purest form, ignoring some of the speed limits that Einstein has put there, can you see it would be possible for your clock to slow down and everyone around you is going faster? This results in a much longer lifespan, dear one. I just gave you the quantum reason why a high vibrating soul will live longer. It's because you change time with your consciousness. Now, I've done this so that you can relate to what you already know. So it's not some high idea in metaphysics that has no grounding to it. Einstein showed it to you. But you're doing it at a cellular level. I'm going to give you a piece of information that I've never revealed before that is going to be on the planet and known shortly. Inventors are starting to move into a multidimensional reality. Even if they don't know it, they're starting to use some principles that are multidimensional. Now, let me give you a paradigm that you are used to. And that is this: everything that works, that is mechanical, has to have a power supply. It really boils down to fire. There has to be fire. Heat is often needed, whether it's in steam or another way, in order to propel something. Fire equals light. Fire equals computing. Fire equals this, that. It all boils down to the elements of the planet fueling something you have created. Now, you'll get really good at efficient use of fire. That is a metaphor. But it still has to have a power supply. So the paradigm that I'm giving you is that in 3D, in order to have something that would appear to be energy, you have to have that which starts it somehow, a little or a lot. That is the paradigm of three dimensions. It has to come from something that is in front of you in order to develop it into something else. And you're getting, as I say, very good. What about quantum energy? Quantum energy is not linear. Now, if I told you it didn't need a power supply, I would be wrong. But let me tell you this. It does not need a three-dimensional power supply. Here is an axiom that the quantum physicists and inventors will know. In order to have quantum energy, to work with it, to develop it, to use it, there has to be a quantum source. Period. You cannot create quantum energy or build anything using it without a source that is similar of quantumness. Let me define the word quantum. As we use it today, it means multidimensional. It is not the standard definition of quantum as physics would have. We are using it differently. It means multidimensional. Multidimensional energy of any form that is developed on this planet must have a multidimensional source. They're even going to call it a push-pull energy. Because when they realize the dynamics of multidimensionality, it's going to work in a push-pull way. In linearity, one power supply simply pushes in one direction to fuel something that then does something. There's no push-pull. The closest push-pull energy you have was developed through a quantum mind called alternating current. And that is push-pull. If there's an engineer in the room, you'll chuckle because you know I'm right. You look at the phase relationships of alternating current, and it's push-pull. Tesla knew about this, and it wasn't time. A quantum energy needs a quantum source. Now, before we go to the next step, where would you get a quantum energy? Do you know there are quantum biologists? If there are quantum biologists, that tells you something about your biology. What if it were quantum? There are quantum sources all over the planet. Some of the biggest, the absolute largest energies on this planet sit there and look at you and work 24/7, and they're quantum. Gravity is quantum. Magnetics is quantum. Light is quantum. The sources of quantum energy and development are with those three. Plus one, you. If you have a quantum biology, that means that you can do quantum things. The source is inside your DNA. Now, this is what has created the ability for you to vibrate faster with consciousness. Do you know that if you vibrate fast enough and your consciousness is high enough, and you can integrate with the creative source, what happens? Your DNA starts to work at a very efficient level. You go past 44, 55, you get into 80s and 90s. And this now will explain something very controversial. The masters of this planet had vibrating DNA in the 90s, and they controlled physics. They could change one thing into another. They could work with life force. They could make massless objects. And they can do it because they are one with that which is around them, with a fast, high vibrating DNA. The quantum engine is already there inside you, and this explains why this new energy and the magnetic field is able to allow you to go further than you've ever gone before. A quantum engine, which is your biology, will create quantum thought, higher thinking inventions, because you think out of 3D. Many of you will outlive your families. There'll come a time when humanity looks at the few who are outliving the many. And you will again face the objection that you're using magic, not understanding that what you're using is the love of God. It's always been there. This is just one of many things that we'd love to share more with you. But if I wanted to summarize this portion of the message, it would be this. Everything that you wish to accomplish personally within you can be done using a quantum engine that is already in place and waiting to be started. The consciousness of thought, the emotions of love, benevolence, and compassion are catalysts for the quantum engine. Would you like me to say that again? The attributes of love, compassion, and benevolence are the catalysts for the quantum engine. That's what starts it. Fear will stop it. It creates a higher vibrating human being. Just like Einstein says, you surpass some of the attributes of physics as you know them when you start to vibrate higher. Did you know that disease is a lower vibration? Did you know that if your cellular structure vibrates higher, a lower vibrating disease cannot remain? Am I getting through? It's physics. It's the physics of consciousness. Interesting, isn't it? That of all the inventions that you're going to have in these next decades, of the quantum things that are going to occur, the one that you will use first is within you. Because you have to kickstart that one in order to have the others. Because these are going to come out of high consciousness thinking. And that is going to create engrams and patterns of thought that are going to connect to a universal source that gives you perfect physics, not limited physics as you live in. The inventions are in you, waiting to be connected to the source that created them. I want to give you something to think about. I want to paint a picture of a quantum source that is all over this planet. Einstein showed you could change time. It was basic. It's been proven. I'm going to tell you something. In real physics, not limited physics, not 3D physics, in real physics, are you ready? everything can be changed. It's a complete, beautiful, variable system that you can change. When you learn about what it is and how to use it, and you develop the inventions and the machinery, if we can use that word, you will also have some other revelations. Machinery could be partly biological. I'm going to leave that alone. But here's what I want to tell you. What do physicists tell you about matter? They tell you it's mostly space. It's empty. I have two examples I want to give you that are outside of the box of your limited physics. Here you have a rock, and the rock weighs a certain amount. It always weighs that. Of course it does. You can't change that. The rock is the rock. What if I told you you could change that? If you go inside a rock at the atomic level, it's mostly space. That means there's plenty of room to change the density that makes the rock weigh what it does. Dear ones, why does gold and lead, for a certain size, weigh more than basalt or some other light rock or a sponge? And the answer is density. So if you can molecularly, atomically change the density of the rock, you can change what it weighs. Now, if the rock is mostly space, you've got plenty of room, if you knew how to do it. By the way, Tesla did. Tesla is back, by the way. This will occur to humanity. When quantum energies are used, you can change quantum rules. If you change the density of the rock, you could make it massless. You could make it float. That's all you have to do. Dear ones, it's simply variable physics that in your box you don't think you can change. You didn't think you could change time either, did you? And that was in the 40s. It's going to happen. Imagine for a moment if you could change the weight of things, and you could do it easily through a quantum source, not a big power supply, forget that. And what source might you use to change the density of matter? Turn the page. You're sitting there and you have something I want you to do figuratively, in this example. I want you to pretend for a moment that you're in front of a very powerful magnet. It's actually not a magnet, it's a pair, plus and minus. It's one of those special magnets that it's so difficult to pry it apart. Because the plus and the minus are aligned, so they're sticking together. It's not very big either. In fact, it's not even 2 inches. It's small. There's no power supply. It's simply two magnets that are known to be extremely strong. They're dense. They have properties of magnetism highest on the planet ever discovered, and they're sticking together. They're small. Your job is to pull them apart. So you begin. You grasp them and you stop for a moment, realizing they're not going to come apart easily. So you take a stance of a weightlifter. You bend down. You get your muscles prepared. You grab each part and you start to pull. And it's tough. It's not coming apart. They're stuck together through a magnetism that is so strong. You know if you slide them slightly to one, way or another they might come apart. You have to be careful. If they come apart and you get your finger in between, you'll squash it. And you start to sweat. Now you're extending energy. You're expending energy. You're extending your consciousness to everything you can to pull these parts from one another. Now I want you to freeze frame that for a moment. I want you to get that picture firmly in your mind. You're doing everything you can. You're breathing hard. You're huffing and puffing. You're sweating. The magnet will eventually come apart with the force that you're using as a human being. But I want you to freeze frame it. Because this, my friend, is the difference between 3D energy and quantum. The human being is a machine that's 3D. In this particular example, trying everything it can through force to pull something apart. If you do it long enough, you'll get tired. If you do it long enough, you're going to need fuel. You're going to need to eat something in order to sustain your life so you can use your muscles so you can continue to pull apart this magnet. If it were life and death, that you had to pull it apart to survive, you'd also add anxiety. Then you'd have to eat more. Now let's turn over and look at what the magnet is doing. Nothing. What kind of force is 24/7? The magnet has incredible power. So much so you're sweating to try to pull it apart. And it's doing nothing. It's just sitting there. Long after you're tired, it's still powerful. Dear ones, long after you're dead, it's still there. It's still powerful. Never ending. It doesn't need to be fed. It's forever. How can you explain that? What kind of a power is there? There's no power supply. There's no electricity. Only magnetism. I just gave you the key for massless objects. It's going to come from a quantum source. The quantum source will be magnetism. Magnets get their power from a quantum source that does not appear to be on the planet. It's everywhere. It's part of the ethers of the heliosphere of the sun. It is part of the ever-present ethos of the space between atomic structure. Magnetism and the power of it comes from a source that you cannot explain because it's not linear. How many physicists have looked at the power of magnets and scratched their head? You know how to use them. You have no idea where the source is coming from. And you huff and you puff and you use all of that 3D energy that has to be fueled in order to pull them apart or push them, and they're forever. And they don't care and they don't get tired. Welcome to the future. There is so much energy available without a 3D power supply. And this will be the new frontier. When you can do these kinds of things and not weaponize them, that's high consciousness. It's coming. It's enough for today to give you examples of what high consciousness can do, where you're headed for, because there is a connection to the creative source which is going to open up and give you the benevolence that you deserve. These things will not be given completely while the earth is in its current state of imbalance. These things will clear and the unbalance will become less, and you will feel it and you will know it, and there'll come a day when there's very, very little killing on this planet and much more understanding on this planet. And when you can see that, it will simply open the frontiers of physics. And like the magnet that is forever, it will create for you food and water and power and even using. That's enough. You're in the forerunning. Forerunners of all of it. All of it. Planet after planet has been through this. It's coming. And you will say, cryonics are going to be in my lifetime. And I'm going to tell you, of course. Of course. You may look a little different. But you'll be alive. You're going to be here to see it, all of it. That's because you're an old soul. You paid the price to get here with lifetime after lifetime of working with light, dear ones. Now it's time the light gives it back to you. And so it is.